रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताया पतये नमः. बालकान चैप्टर नंबर 50 एट मिथिला. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. They proceeded northeast and shortly found themselves near the sacrificial grounds of King Janaka. Reverend sir, said the princess to Vishwamitra, splendid indeed are the arrangements that the great soul Janaka has made for his sacrifice. Far as the eye can see, lovely cottages to homes the sages dot the country, each with his ring fence of wains. Methinks the Brahmanas from the far corners of the land, masters of the Vedas and its mysteries, have graced the occasion by hundreds and by thousands. Point out to us some convenient spot wherein we too may encamp. And accordingly did Vishwamitra pitch their quarters in a place well watered, calm, and removed from noise and bustle. Janaka was at once informed of their arrival, and in humble reverence advanced to welcome them. The holy Shatananda of spotless sanctity led the way, while the other priests followed the royal chaplain with the materials of worship. High reverence and meat did they offer unto the honored guest, who deserved it so well. Vishwamitra accepted it with a pleased heart and inquired of the king his health and of the progress of his sacrificial rite. Janaka rendered proper reply to his holy guest and failed not to assure himself of their welfare and their pleasant journey thither. He then turned to Vishwamitra and said to him with joined palms, May it please your reverence and your holy brethren to honor me by occupying these seats, which they did accordingly, and after them Shatananda, the other priests, the king and his ministers. Having seen to it that all were comfortably seated, Janaka turned to Vishwamitra and said, This day, verily, have the gods been pleased to crown the preparations I have made for the sacrifice. Today it is that I have realized the object of my holy toil, in that I have set my eyes on you. Thrice blessed am I and honored above comparison, insomuch as your reverence has deigned to grace my sacrificial ground with your saintly presence, and not less these ascetics of pure vows. 12 days more, so say the wise ones, and you will see the gods come down here to accept their shares of the offerings. He paused and resumed, his face lit up with joy within. Hail to thee! These youths, who are they? Godlike in their might, of lordly gait, even as the proud monarch of the forests, of the majestic elephant, or the tiger, or the bull, with large and lustrous eyes, like unto the rosy petals of the blown lotus, combining in themselves the graces of the boy and the youth. Lo, how they shine in their martial attire, bow in hand, the sword by the sides, and the well-filled quivers peeping from behind. More like those heavenly twins, the ideals of divine grace and beauty, the Ashwins. Are these the gods themselves come down of their own sweet will to this dull earth of ours, from their bright home on high? How chances it that they have deigned to come all the way here on foot? What seek they? Whom are they here for? The twin lords of the day and the night grace not the sky more than these princes, this fortunate land. Face, features, gestures, gait, speech, the keenest eye cannot distinguish the one from the other. These warlike youths, whose sons are they? These lords of men, why have they trod this wild path and dreadful? May I know the truth that lies behind this, the visit of these fair-haired boys to my place. And to him thus inquiring did Vishwamitra relate the visit of the royal sons of King Dashrath to Siddhashrama, the utter destruction of the Rakshasas at their hands, their stay at Vishala on the way, the release of Ahalya from her dreadful fate, their meeting with the holy Gautama, and last, their eager desire to have the sight of the rare bow in Janaka's keeping that led them to the fair Mithila. Thus did he recount to the wondering Janaka the details of their remarkable journey and paused. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdhiye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.